Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Welcome to BetQL. It is You Better You Bet. Kevin Rogers in for Nick Kostos. But Ken Barkley's here, so at least we have one regular here on the show. It's not just two guys you never heard of, just one guy you never heard of. So Ken Barkley is here with me, and we have so much to go over the next 4 hours. NFL news, Major League Baseball trade deadline news, NBA draft, the NBA moves made last night. But before we get to all of that, want to remind you about the great lineup here at BetQL. The Daily Tip starts things off every morning with Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Also, BetQL Daily, Joe Ostrowski and Joe Giglio from 9 to noon Eastern. And then it is Jim Rome, noon to 3 Eastern. Then You Better You Bet from 3 to 7, followed by BetMGM Tonight with Quentin Mayo and Ryan Horvath. That comes up from 7 to 11 Eastern. And also, don't forget to download the BetQL app today and use the promo code Kostos, K-O-S-T-O-S, for 20% off any subscription. And BetQL helps you beat the sports books. And something you may not know is that You Better You Bet is part of a bigger company. We are home to the industry's most influential collection of broadcast and digital content, podcasts, and premium live experiences. We provide the news our fans need, the sports they love. We're part of a brand called Odyssey. So download the Odyssey app today to watch and listen to You Better You Bet live. And also, you can subscribe to the podcast on the app. All the other shows on BetQL are available as well. And finally, the best for last, it is our friends at BetRivers. Other sites offer a big bonus, but then make you play 10 times, 25 times, or more times to actually get your cash. With BetRivers, it's simple. One time, and it's yours. Always place real money wagers on the Olympics and get free bets for U.S. medals. Wager $500 or more on the Olympics to get $1 for every bronze medal that the USA wins. Wager $1,000 or more on the Olympics to get $2 for every silver and $1 for every bronze medal the USA wins. And you could wager $2,500 or more on the Olympics to get $3 for every gold, $2 for every silver, and $1 for every bronze medal the USA wins. House specials do not qualify. Wagers must have odds of minus 200 or greater to qualify, and free bets will be awarded on Monday, August 9th. Fast payout approvals, superb customer service, your hometown sportsbook, BetRivers. Ken Barkley, we bring in Ken Barkley now after I knocked all that out. And Ken, I want to say hello to you. And there's so much going on today. I mean, we have so much to hit on. We have plenty of great guests today. The baseball trade deadline, it's heating up. It's coming down towards the end. And we'll get to some of that in a little bit. But first, the NBA draft wrapped up last night. And no surprise at the top, Cade Cunningham going number one to the Detroit Pistons. And Jalen Green goes two to Houston. Evan Mobley goes three to Cleveland. I guess the biggest surprise, okay, let me rephrase that. A big surprise was Scottie Barnes going to Toronto at four. He was supposed to go five, at least what it looked like. But as far as you personally, your draft props, you did well?
Yeah, it went really good. So first of all, you know, I mean, how did that feel, by the way, doing all those reads, doing like the full intro and everything? Like, you feel comfortable? You get to go for the next 4 hours here?
I feel good. I always feel like after I'm gonna hear like, okay, either do it shorter or do it longer. So hopefully right. I did it right.
Like, that's the big thing. You're out or, and Eli just comes in and sits out.
Yeah, if I'm out, then I'll just go get somebody to eat now. So it's really okay. It's really no big deal.
Right. Now, I mean, hey, that's the read sounded like how they always sounded. So, I mean, right. Welcome. Obviously, people.
Thank you.
Longtime viewers and listeners to our show, watching on YouTube, Odyssey app, all that stuff. You know, aren't familiar with you, obviously. You know, you and I have talked before and you know, extensive radio background, sports betting background. So I think hopefully people will get a lot out of your content as well as kind of our conversations that we'll have the rest of the show. You mentioned baseball trade deadline, bunch of stuff coming up on that. As like, there's a TV above me and I basically never have it on this summer because like, why would I, there's nothing on. Why would I have it on? I guess like some kind of Olympics that start in the afternoon or something, but have the trade deadline special on, kind of weirdly fascinated by a lot of moves that have been made. It's been a very busy trade deadline. We'll get to that, which you mentioned, but actually had like kind of monitoring it, which I wasn't expecting. The names that have moved have been so interesting though. But for people that listen to our show, obviously they're hearing you for the first time, but they also, they were bathing in money last night. They had viewers and listeners of the show had a great night. A lot of them sent me DMs, tweeted at Eli and Rick, who had a good night as well. And myself and Tyler, who's on the show today for Bill. And it was punctuated by that first four order that you read out. So, you know, we did the show Monday and Tuesday, so a couple days before the draft. And the point that I was making at the time, Kevin, which led to everyone kind of making this exact order bet and the price ended up plummeting as we got close to the draft day, was just, it seems like close to 100%, never 100%, but close to 100% that it was always going to be Cunningham and Green and Mobley because the trades just were never going to materialize. That was the impression that we got. And the fourth pick was really like the valuable one to try to take advantage of because for whatever reason, everyone was just like, well, it's Suggs. And then I just kept reading more stuff, listening to more podcasts from, there's no shortage of NBA insiders that like to do podcasts and like to write stuff, as I'm sure you know. And the consensus was like, well, Toronto's not telling anyone what they're doing. And we know that they've actually worked out Scotty Barnes and they're very interested in him. And I just kept reading all of this being like, okay, cool. Could be Suggs. Could definitely have been Suggs. No question. But like, where is the report that it is Suggs? Where is that? Like, I see all the stuff with Mobley and the Cavs who were desperately trying to draft him. I see all the stuff. Green only worked out for Detroit and Houston. Like, he's going to one of those two teams. Cunningham's out there saying he's like the number one Detroit Pistons fan on earth. You got that one. Like, where was all the smoke for Suggs at number four? It just seemed a little weird. So just seemed more like a coin flip proposition. But, you know, Kevin is somebody who appreciates price. I'm sure, you know, you can understand when you can get what I appeared to be a coin flip. So it was either going to be Suggs at four or Barnes at four. And Barnes at four with the other three in that order was 12-1 at the start of the week, 9-1 the day after that. It was even plus 450 yesterday before the draft started. It just seemed like a valuable thing to take advantage of.
And also I read today, Ken, that Jalen Suggs did not have a great workout with Toronto. So that was another reason. It's kind of like, oh, after the fact, now we know, sure. Oh, well, that's now not the guy me. That they wanted. Right. Yeah, but exactly. A couple other things that you liked. Davion Mitchell from Baylor, he goes to the Sacramento Kings, and that seemed like a little bit of a shocker as he goes under 12.5. And you know, a lot of people maybe questioned that one, if that was the right guy for the Kings. But apparently he was able to slip into the lottery.
Yeah, that was one that, so I, to be fair, we had people on the show who really kind of debated, I think, each side of that, but it was one of the most interesting props because like Eli, our producer, watches more college basketball than probably anybody on the planet. I watch a pretty good amount of college basketball. I mean, especially as we get into February and March and then the tournament, Tyler is filling in today, watches an insane amount of like prep basketball and then college basketball. And like, those are the types of people that are going to be like, how can this guy like go so late? Like, we just watched a college basketball season where like he was the best player on the team that won the title and beat Gonzaga by a billion. Like, how can this be true? And yet the NBA side of it, while Bobby Marks on in a couple segments, I'm sure he'll say the same thing, is like, well, because we know what he is already, because he's old and he has a certain defined skill set. And I'd rather have the 17-year-old where I have, I mean, ask the Spurs, right, who took Primo. It's like, I'd rather have like the 16-year-old where I have no idea what he's going to turn into, because he could turn into Giannis, basically, or he could turn into somebody totally random. So that was kind of surprising. But what that also spoke to, I think, Kevin, was like, when you read after the fact about how each team evaluated, you mentioned Suggs and the workout with Toronto. So you get all the stories after the fact from the teams. All the stories about Sacramento seem to basically imply that they still, despite the fact they've changed general managers a couple times, obviously Vivek bought the team, God, like almost like 10 years ago now, maybe 8 years ago. They still have no idea what they're doing, it seems like. And they still, it really is just like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. and, you know, their pick kind of set off a chain reaction to some other stuff, led to Mitchell going under his draft prop. And I think set off really a domino effect that led to, I think, like 8 or 9 draft props, honestly, being affected because of some picks that were made there at the back end of the top 10.
And also, I always feel, Ken, with Sacramento, that whoever goes there, like, you're just going to go there to die. Like, no one's going to hear from you ever again.
What a nice glass half full opinion. That was good. A little optimistic.
It's just never going to work. Like, you're locked into 35 wins a year in an 82-game season. You're, like, locked in. You got no shot, and you're going to be lost out there, and you got to hope that somehow you bust out. And sometimes it feels that way with Charlotte, too, because the Hornets ended up getting James Bonite from UConn, who is a very good player out of the Big East, but also he was, what, minus 1,200 to go in the top 10, and he got picked 11th?
Yeah, that was kind of like not a feather in my cap necessarily, but we did the show yesterday, and you mentioned, I mean, you already said it with Suggs, and I mentioned it with the Kings. Like, you hear all the stories after the fact. Well, here's how it actually came together. Here's how we actually came up with all the decisions about how these teams evaluated players, who they really had at the top of their board and everything. We had some unconfirmed reports yesterday. We read them during the show because I thought they were fascinating, and they went directly against how the betting market was moving. So if you only watched the betting market yesterday, you would have been absolutely astonished that Book Knight did not go 6th overall to Oklahoma City. Like, the draft prop basically was 7.5 a couple days ago, just kept getting juiced under. Then it went to 6.5 at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then even kept getting betting under at that. We knew what the first 5 picks were in some order. So again, like deductive reasoning, like, therefore Book Knight probably very likely to go 6th. But we started to get some reports during the show that he had basically some red flags, whether it was like character. He has this like car accident situation that's like a little murky. There might have been some medical stuff going on. And this started to come out during the show yesterday, which was basically the 4 hours up until the start of the draft. So once that happened, I was like, oh, the market has to move on this, that like he might slip. Everyone's concerned, and nothing happened. In fact, he just kept getting bet more to be the 6th overall pick or to go under 6.5. The live markets didn't address this whatsoever. And the rumor that was attached to that report was that Josh Giddey was going to go 6th overall because Book Knight had all of these red flags that we weren't necessarily aware of to begin with. So Nick and I are talking about this. Nick ended up betting Book Knight over 6.5 at like really good plus odds. Rick, I think, had Book Knight over. That started to become a thing. And Giddey under, I was selling at, you couldn't have made the price high enough, under 10.5. There were like 4 teams from 6 to 10 that were going to take him. That was one of the biggest wins we had on the show. So it was really interesting. You mentioned what the Book Knight top 10 odds were, and the whole week, it felt like we were leading up to him being selected 6th, but we did get that smoke kind of on draft day yesterday that maybe something was amiss. Maybe it wouldn't go quite how we thought it was going to go. And when those things kind of happen, when we get those reports, like, my advice is just at least kind of listen to them. Like, at least, like, consider what they're telling you. Obviously, consider the source. If it's, you know, stupid guy 6969 on Twitter, then maybe you can ignore it. But if it's somebody who's working for like a reputable outlet, they're doing a live stream, they're you know, generally somebody who's connected with sources, at least listen to what they have to say, because that ended up coming out. And like, I'm not betting Book Knight under when that happens. Like, I'm not going to bet him at all, because now I don't know what's going to happen. It probably makes me like Giddey under a little bit more. Now there's an extra team that maybe is going to take him in addition to the Grizzlies at 10. So I know you mentioned that was like a crazy price that was an upset. If you paid attention to the reports, you paid attention to the show yesterday, there was a lot of reason to believe that we were going to see something surprising with Book Knight. We didn't know. We weren't like 100% sure, but it was at least kind of in the realm of possibility. Now I would just use that to advocate for people listening to the show and trying to kind of follow the reports that are out there.
And you know what, too, Ken, is that we didn't really see a lot of trades last night in the first round. That's always what messes things up with these draft props. Sure. Is, you know, obviously you're picking the slot, not the team. But, you know, at times, you know, the 7th or 8th pick, you know, there might be a big change and everything gets all messed up. But we didn't see that last night, that every team kind of stuck with their guns and where they were at.
Yeah, it was bizarre, because we had heard so many rumblings. I'm sure you had heard the same thing, Kevin, that's like, this is going to be a crazy draft. Like, there's going to be stuff going on all over the place. We're going to have so many trades. Is Ben Simmons going to get traded on draft night? Now, we had the Westbrook thing, which we'll talk about next segment. But like, you're right. We definitely didn't have a lot of trades at the top. Once we got to the back end of the first round, I mean, you're always right. Going to get cash considerations, future firsts, you know, teams like the Knicks that want to just like put off having to pick players because they might want to make some free agent deals and make some trades. It's easier to have that asset next year. Like, those start happening, but it was pretty small scale. The only thing that kind of ended up mattering, you know, Houston obviously trading and getting Şengün, who ended up the Turkish big man who ended up falling pretty far. That was actually like almost the only draft prop I got wrong last night from like prior to draft day was I had his under and had insane closing line value on it. Had like under 13.5 even. He closed 11.5 minus 180. Loss. So for those of you who are pro CLV, sometimes it doesn't always go great when that stuff happens. But that trade, so now Houston gets Green and Şengün and Garuba. And I know those names don't mean a lot to people, but like they have three really big prospects in the first 20, 25 picks of the draft. Like that's the only trade that was kind of like for draft nicks or for people that really pay attention to kind of like roster construction. That was kind of interesting, but you're right. The kind of giant top of the top, you know, top 10 lottery, big time trade didn't really end up happening. We ended up with big player trades, but we didn't really end up with draft picks changing hands at the top.
Well, Ken, coming up, we're going to talk more about the NBA and the Russell Westbrook trade. He's going to the Lakers, the new big three with LeBron and AD and Westbrook. We'll see how that works out. Also, we are going to speak with Bobby Marks of ESPN, get his thoughts on draft night and the trades in the NBA, and also plenty of baseball to go over, too, with all the trades. So we will look ahead to all of that coming up. Kevin Rogers and Ken Barkley with you. It is You Better You Bet. You're locked in to BetQL.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Westbrook comes up with it. He has Len running alongside, but Westbrook takes all the way. And a timeout called by the Pacers. Russell Westbrook, 17 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds.
It's Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Welcome back. Kevin Rogers in for Nick Kostos today. Ken Barkley is here as well. So we will take you up till 7 o'clock Eastern time here on You Better You Bet. And we'll get to the Russell Westbrook stuff in just a second, Ken. But more of the baseball news. Javi Baez going to the Mets from the Cubs. So Chicago totally unloading. Also, the Cubs trading Craig Kimbrell to the White Sox. So he doesn't have a far trip now. Kyle Gibson going to the Phillies from the Rangers.
Wow.
Crazy, crazy. We'll talk more baseball coming up a little bit later on in the 4 o'clock hour, but want to talk more NBA now. Bobby Marks will join us coming up in about 20 minutes or so from ESPN as a front office insider, talk about the draft last night and the trades. Russell Westbrook, Ken, he is now playing for his fourth team in four seasons coming up this season with the Lakers. So he's gone from the Thunder to the Rockets to the Wizards to the Lakers. This new big three of LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook. And when I saw that, I'm kind of, you know, you heard the rumor, who was it, Magic Johnson, said, oh, Chris Paul's going to go to the Lakers. And right. Then obviously he did it. So now Westbrook's going. I just can't see how Westbrook's the missing piece. I really can't. You still need shooters on that team, and you don't have them.
Yeah, a noted prognosticator, Magic Johnson, right, who is just most of his tweets are like, the NBA draft was last night, and players were selected, and they're going to play in the NBA! Exclamation point. And it's like, okay, well, that's it's all technically true. Thank you, Magic. Appreciate that. The Westbrook stuff from last night. Well, let me ask you, like, you when you heard about that trade for the first time, because we thought it was going to be Buddy Hield the first time when we were doing the show yesterday. That was, you know, the Woj v. Shams, you know, like all
war
out
that
blood
they
sport.
Had. Yeah, the right? two of yeah, them.
Like just, which absolutely hit. I mean, High Noon was yesterday during all of draft day, basically just trying to constantly one-up each other. It had been reported that obviously Hield was in the mix for that Kuzma KCP package. My guess is they were probably just kind of calling both and ended up saying yes to one and no to another. It ends up being Westbrook. So when you first heard that, like, did that make you want to make a bet on something? Like, you hear Westbrook goes to the Lakers. Like, what was your initial thought when that first got announced?
Well, I think that the Lakers, you know, when you look at the Western Conference, Ken, and Kawhi is still up in the air as far as what's going to happen with the Clippers, depending on if he stays or not. I think a lot of people are forgetting about Golden State, too, now that Klay's coming back this year. So I just don't think the Lakers are the slam dunk team. I mean, even if Anthony Davis was healthy in the playoffs, you know, are they winning the West? I'm not too sure about that. And we saw how the Jazz got bounced out. There's just too many teams there in the West where I feel like in the East, you have about two or three do you feel good about. In the West, I don't think it's the Lakers and everyone else. It's the Lakers. It's the Clippers. You got to still throw the Suns in there, even though I think that their window is shut, that they had their chance, and now everyone else is going to get healthy again. But we don't know what Kawhi's situation is as far as, A, the contract, and B, when he's coming back from the ACL. Utah, Golden State, you throw Denver in, they get Jamal Murray back. That there's, I just don't think the Lakers are the favorite by that they're just the clear-cut favorite as far as us analyzing it, because Russell Westbrook is getting older. He can't shoot the ball anymore. You need shooters on these teams. LeBron is going to be, what, 37 next season? And Anthony Davis's injury problems are always there. Westbrook luckily doesn't get injured, so that durability is fine with Westbrook. I just think that the Lakers are not the slam dunk team to win the West. If they got to the NBA Finals, wouldn't shock me, but I don't think it's them and everyone else anymore.
Sure. I think there's a lot to agree with there in terms of odds for people that just, you know, don't follow the market that closely. I know our show sponsor, Bet Rivers, I believe had the Lakers at 5-1 to win the NBA title, now 4-1 with the announcement of the trade. You know, probably just don't want to get inundated with that inevitable barrage of Lakers money that comes in every time the team is good and like every single season. And I would expect this year to be no different with LeBron still on the team. You mentioned just kind of like what Westbrook can't do anymore, the some of his limitations, teams that he's played on that haven't been very successful, especially in the playoffs. And I totally agree with all of that. The question I always try to ask myself when things like this get announced, and it was the same one I posed to you, like, does this make me want to make a bet on something, right? Does this like, am I it like, okay, well, now that this has happened and everyone knows it, okay, like what's going to change? The Lakers are probably going to become less valuable to win the title. Their odds will go down price-wise, but up in terms of probability. You know, like, is there really a bet to make there? No. Okay. Like, do I want to bet anyone for MVP a little bit more? Now we can get to that in a second. Maybe, but I wasn't really going to bet on LeBron or Anthony Davis before. Now you throw another star in, the likelihood one of them wins the most valuable player award seems small in terms of just how the statistics are going to be distributed. So, okay. But I kind of settled on one bet that I at least started thinking about, like, all right, what do I think this would be? Would I be more or less likely to bet it? I'll be really curious what the Lakers win total is this year, regular season win total in the NBA. My guess is, go back to obviously the league announced the new calendar, 82 game regular season seems imminent. We'll see what happens. Obviously, you know, health and the pandemic will dictate everything going forward as it has for the last year. But let's assume 82 game season, things kind of back to normal. Fans continue to be back at arenas, all that kind of stuff. Wishful thinking, glass half full, which is always a good way to, I think, to approach this stuff. If that's true, the one thing that Westbrook does do, which is not going to matter in a playoff series when LeBron has the ball in his hands and it's 3 minutes left and the game is tied and it's game seven against the Clippers, or it's, you know, game seven in the second round against Denver or whatever. Westbrook every single night tries to the absolute maximum, and that has very little value in the postseason because everyone's trying 100% to the maximum, and it comes down more to, like, in the final 3 minutes of a game in clutch situations, what offense are you running, what defense are you running, like, can that work? In the regular season, having that guy I think might be really, really valuable. Like, they would be a team I would now be more likely to bet over their regular season win total. We have to see what it opens at. Let's say mid-50s, I think it's like a pretty good place to start. Something like 54 or 55, maybe something like that. Whereas you have LeBron, who sat out a very large portion of last season. Anthony Davis and him were both injured. But even at LeBron's age, seems likely to maybe not play every game in the regular season. A lot of second night of back-to-backs, time off, quasi-phantom injuries maybe that could appear during the season. Those are things that would hurt the Lakers regular season record normally, like if it's just LeBron, Davis, six guys. With the acquisition of Westbrook, it's kind of interesting because when it's February 6th and you're hosting the Bulls, and you're, I actually brought that up because Rick's on the show, and you're like a 9-point favorite, it's a tough game to get up for, man. And there are teams like Clippers, Utah all the time with this prior to last season would just blow these games because it's just, they just don't matter. The Sixers in every spot ever that that group has ever been in. It's just sometimes you let these games get away because, like, it's just tough to get up for all these spots midseason. That's kind of been a thing with Westbrook where in that time when everyone's like, oh God, we're exhausted, like, I don't care about these games, he's actually the one who's playing at like 100 million percent capacity and actually, like, trying really hard. And he's also obviously a very good player. So it doesn't make me want to bet the Lakers to win the title. It definitely doesn't want to make me want to do that. You know, I thought the price was pretty prohibitive anyway. This doesn't make me more likely to want to bet on them. But regular season wins, I think, is kind of interesting where I would probably not bet the Lakers normally. And now I'll at least think about the over probably. I assume it's going to be low to mid-50s. And I think that would be an approach that I would at least start, like, kind of starting to formulate in my head. All right, what number would I need? You know, what would I really project the Lakers at when you have a guy that you can plug in, high usage, relatively productive. We'll see how the shot selection changes, but who every night is, I think, going to give the team a higher win probability in the regular season.
So I'm going to throw four examples at you, Ken. You can only pick one. Okay. Which one do you like the best? I know you don't have the numbers in front of you, like all of them, but I'm just giving you just hypothetical. Yeah. Lakers to win the Pacific, Lakers to win the West, Lakers to win the finals, or Lakers over win total. Out of those four, which one do you like the best?
Pacific West title and win total, like either way. I mean, we can kind of formulate the odds, right? So the funny thing about Pacific is they're in a division with the Warriors and the Clippers. So it's like, and Phoenix.
Yeah.
So it's just like, what a disaster. And Sacramento, never mind.
They get Luke Walton. That's fine.
Right. Yeah. So here's a fun question. What is Sacramento going to be to win the division next year? Like, is it going
to
be
a lot to one? That's what it is.
Like, how many zeros can we write on one computer screen without the code messing up? I mean, just that's actually hilarious. What do I like the most? The most likely outcome? I think the most likely outcome for the Lakers this year is team that goes over their win total. That would be my pick. You know, if they go over their win total, they probably do win the division. They'll be the favorite. So I don't know if there'll be a lot of value in that bet. But in the playoffs, I do think it's kind of interesting. There's rumblings out there, and this is going to be like from a playoff conversation. Do you want to bet them to win the West? Do you want to bet them to win the title? This is kind of one of the questions that needs to be answered. There were reports today in a couple different places that, like, and this is not straight from the horse's mouth, it's like clearly third hand rumor type stuff. Anthony Davis is, like, quote, going to play more minutes at the five this year, which is what 1,000,000% has to happen for, at least in a playoff environment, for these three guys together to be successful. Like, Davis's shooting regressed completely out of the bubble, was not the 3-point shooter that he was in the bubble. And that's true with a lot of different players. And if it's LeBron and Davis and Westbrook, and a big playing the five, like, if it's LeBron, Davis, Westbrook, Marc Gasol, it's like, which actually is not even a terrible, the worst possible example, but like a big, like any big, really, and one other player on the court, like, the spacing's a disaster. I mean, and it's not that they won't shoot threes, it's just like, in the final 6 minutes in a playoff game, period, do you want any possessions to end with Davis contested three, Westbrook three of any type? Or, I mean, and then if it's not that, and then they're, you know, the gravity around the basket is more congested because those guys aren't shooting. Like, it's just, it's a no-win situation. So the rumbling is basically like, oh, well, he's actually going to play more five, which he never wants to do, which he never does. I'll believe it when I see it. But I think if you could get to that, then you could actually maybe get a little bit more shooting on the court. And I'm willing to leave the door open. I'm willing to be optimistic, Kevin, about what this can be. Like, Kyrie, Durant, Harden team up. And honestly, like, in addition to them being an overwhelming favorite, everyone's first thought was like, well, there's only one ball. Like, how's this going? One ball, they take a million shots. It's like, or by the time we got to the second round, they were like 60% to win the NBA title. Like, or we all watched it and go, holy crap. Like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. And it's not that these three guys are the same. It's just that I'm willing to give it, like, I want to see it. And then I don't know how this is going to, I don't have any idea how this is going to fit together. LeBron, Westbrook on the court at the same time. Who knows? Can it work? I don't know. I'm willing to reserve judgment until I see it. And until that point, the only bet that kind of stands out to me is probably the win total.
I want to look at the MVP odds too now, Ken. And we saw last year, Nikola Jokic wasn't even top 10 or top 15, right, to win the MVP.
Like 10th-ish. He was kind of hanging out. Okay. If it was last night, he'd be like a lottery pick, basically. He'd be kind of down there. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so Luka Doncic now is at 11-2, plus 550 is the favorite from the Mavs. Giannis right behind him at plus 650. Durant 8-1. Embiid and Curry at 10-1. I just can't buy into Luka because of the favorite. That's it. It's nothing to do with him. And there were so many guys last year you could have made the argument for Giannis. I mean, maybe Durant's worth a look this year at 8-1. And I know the whole like one guy, you know, you got to be the guy. Like Giannis is the guy in Milwaukee. Jokic lucked out in a sense because Jamal Murray got hurt. So he had way more opportunities. But Curry, I don't know about him because now Klay's coming back. So he's not going to be getting all the opportunities. But Durant, maybe Embiid, like right now, July. That's the talk right now in July. Durant and Embiid could be looks for me.
Okay, I think that makes some sense. And the place to start, really with any sport, NFL and NBA, I think work the same, where when you're trying to figure out who to bet to win MVP, I try to work the problem backwards. What are the teams that I think are most likely this coming season to be the one seeds? Like, who do I think is really going to be the one seed? And then you kind of try to work from there, and people will be like, well, like Jokic, like they weren't the one seed last year. Well, first of all, they had a great regular season record, even though they weren't the one. And I don't think Jokic wins the MVP if Embiid doesn't get hurt and LeBron doesn't get hurt. So, like, we couldn't have seen that coming before the year. It's like a fruitless exercise. You shouldn't be trying to identify Jokic from last year. You should have really been trying to identify LeBron and Embiid from last year, which would have been the teams that are by far the most likely to be the one seeds before the season, Philadelphia and the Lakers. Like, you would have got to the All-Star break and felt amazing about what you had done from a betting standpoint. And then, as is often the case, injuries happen, adjust your portfolio, whatever. So that's always the exercise I try to take in. And there's one other thing I try to do with the MVP. It's a narrative award in a different way than NFL is. It's a narrative award in that I feel like everyone has a career arc where there's a window where they can win MVPs. And then there's a window where the voters will never give them an MVP ever again. So I feel like Curry had kind of his arc of like coming into the league. He's the new thing, wins unanimous MVP for a second one. Like, okay, cool. Like that was his arc kind of. And the type of season that it would take to win it again, I think is like almost impossible in the eyes of the voters, even if the voters don't even realize it yet. Giannis, window, done. Would never have bet him last year, said it every single day. Basically had a similar statistical season, still didn't want to bet him, would never bet him this coming season for the exact same reason. Like, what's the new thing? That's what we're always trying to figure out. Luka's the favorite for that reason, and I agree that he is very likely to win. I don't love the price. I also don't love Jason Kidd as the head coach. And for me, it's Embiid. Like, injury prevented it last year. Let's see what the package is for Ben Simmons. Like, that's kind of interesting. This was a guy who basically won the MVP last year but didn't win it. They're still going to be really likely to win a ton of games in the East next year. Like, once we see what the Simmons trade haul is, that's like the only guy that stands out to me. Had to be in the conversation last year, hasn't really won yet. Who's the next guy? Like, it's Luka and him, basically. So if you were going to bet NBA MVP, I'm not saying I would bet it now. It's not going to be awarded until like a year from now, basically, and the prices aren't going to change very much. The two names I would immediately think about is just, who do I even want in my portfolio at any price? Probably Luka and probably Embiid, just based on kind of what we know about the history of the award.
We're going to talk plenty of baseball coming up in the next hour, but more NBA talk. Bobby Marks, ESPN front office insider, he will join us, get Bobby's thoughts on the draft, the Westbrook trade, and plenty more. Kevin Rogers and Ken Barkley with you here on You Better You Bet. We take you till 7 p.m. Eastern. I'm in for Nick Costos, but Ken Barkley is here to keep things on a nice even keel with me, trying not to shift everything. You're locked into BetQL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.